Oh, we got so busy gabbing, I almost forgot that we have a guest here. That's who I was gabbing with. And I think you're going to enjoy hearing her voice, both singing and also speaking. It's a pleasure to have her here. I've heard some of her material, but not. She's pretty prolific in terms of her recordings. And I'm looking at this great card that I was just handed with a contortionist banjo player on the front of it. That's not you. No, I don't think so.
I can't.
That's amazing. But please join me in welcoming live right here in our studio, Linda McCrae.
Thank you so much.
Linda McCrae at the Saturday Light Brigade. Nice to have you here. Good morning.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me here.
Tell me about that guitar.
Oh, this guitar. I bought this in 2005 on eBay. I was living in Vancouver, British Columbia, up in Canada, and It happened to be in Vancouver as well. The person who was selling it was in Vancouver, so I was kind of able to go and have a look at it and, you know, get a couple of guitar expert friends of mine to come and have a look at it, and it's my baby.
It's a Gibson, and it looks... do you know the year?
It's a 63.
I was going to say it looks like the early 60s, yeah. And I'm not a guitarist, but
right.
I'm related to one. My brother is a professional guitarist, and it looks, I was going to guess that, and it looks, it has a really nice patina on it.
Oh,
you know,
thanks.
It's been played and enjoyed.
It's well used.
Yeah,
sure.
it looks great. What was the name of the song?
It's called This Winding Road. I wrote it, you know, I mentioned Hank Williams and Johnny Cash and June Carter and Tammy Wynette and people. It's just, you know, all those people kind of paved the way for people like me, you know, and I just really wanted to write something that sort of paid homage to them. My mom and dad were really big country music fans, and my mom played a little and sort of passed it along to me. And they used to make a lot of their own homemade hooch, which sort of attracted a lot of musicians to my parents' house. So we always had people in the house playing music. They just loved it so much, and they provided the place for everybody to come and hang out. So, you know, we always had upright bass players and fiddle players and dobro and pedal steel and everything in the house. And I'd get up and, you know, they'd get me up and sing.
How old were you at the time?
I was about, well, probably around 7 or 8, I guess.
And where?
Older, you know.
Where was this, geographically?
It was on Vancouver Island, a town called Victoria. It's the capital of British Columbia, but it's a smaller city. And, you know, we had a sort of a 50s, 40s house that had a rumpus room, a basement, full basement with a rumpus room downstairs. And they had friends who were cartoonists that did chalk drawings of my parents on the walls downstairs that were, you know, a picture of my mom and dad with a still and stuff, you know.
What if
they never did that, but
are they still in that house?
No. Oh. And they're not together anymore, unfortunately.
Oh,
but my father passed away in 2001, but they sort of after my youngest brother moved out of the house, they split up.
Well,
but yeah, they were just such big supporters, and encouraged me a lot. And everything. And if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be doing this.
It just sounds like an amazing environment. So when did you? So you're growing up surrounded by music.
Mm-hmm.
When did you first play out or write your first song?
Oh my God! Well, I actually didn't start writing until later in life, and I guess I probably started playing out when I was in my 20s. I got pregnant at 17, and I had my daughter, and you know, I went to work. I was a single mom, so I went to work and raised her, and so I was basically not really doing music as you know, full time or anything until she grew up and moved out, and then that's when I kind of became a full time musician. But I worked at universities. I went back to school because, you know, I quit partway through grade 11 and had her, and then later on I went back to school and got my grade 12, and then I went to a secretarial school, like a 9-month. I went and took legal secretarial work. I was going to be a legal secretary. And then right at the end of it, the university in Victoria called and then was looking for someone to work in the physics and astronomy department at UVic. So I went for an interview and I got the job, and I worked there for about 6 years. And then my daughter, she was probably around 11 at the time, and we moved to UBC or to Vancouver, and I got a job working in the theater department as the department head secretary, or that's not what they're called now. I'm not sure what they're called now. But so I worked there for another 6 years until she was old enough. And then this Celtic rock band asked me to come, and I had my own band actually at that time.
Is that
too.
Spirit of the West.
Yeah. Yeah. Before I joined them, I had a group called Terminal City, and I was the bass player and the main songwriter, and that's kind of, you know, when I, actually before that, sorry, I'm kind of out of whack here, but I think in 1979 I joined a band called Easy Money, And that's when I started first writing my first songs. The lead singer, who is the main writer in that band, left the band, and we didn't have any, you know, any. And that was kind of during the punk era. I kind of went through a punk phase, a rock punk phase, and that's when I started writing. And I think my first song was just horrible. It was, you know, it was called "Who Cares, You Lose." They went, "Who cares, you lose. We got the brawn and the brain and the rhythm and the blues. And if you think we're licked, you haven't heard the news." That was the chorus.
Who cares, you lose.
And it was a punk song kind of thing, you know, really fast, like everything was lightning fast. And then I got out of that band and started this, like a jangly kind of Uncle Tupelo kind of thing, you know, in Vancouver. And that was a four-piece. And I wrote most of the music for that band. And it was after the guys in Spirit of the West saw me play in that band and asked me to come and join. So I quit my job at UBC and started going on the road, you know, which was really fun. It was the first time I'd really
adventure. I want to talk to you a little bit about music in Canada because I think some of our listeners will find some of the things interesting that you have to say, but I want to be sure we hear some more songs too.
Oh, sure.
So, what would you like to play next?
Oh, gosh. Actually, maybe I'll play. My husband and I are working on a brand new album. We're going to release it on Mother's Day. I got married. Actually, our fourth anniversary is coming up. And he and I have been writing songs together, and this is going to be one of the first album that we've put together that are going to have some co-writes on it. But this is going to be the title track of the CD, and it's now a song that I wrote with an old friend of mine back home in Vancouver. His name's Al Mader, and it's called "Rough Edges and Ragged Hearts." I'll play that one.
This is Linda McCrae, if you're just tuning in, who now lives and is based in Kingston Springs,
mm-hmm.
Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
But as you heard, was raised in Vancouver, and here she is again.
Okay. I'm starved for affection, don't strive for perfection, just someone to catch me should I fall. Now the band's finished playing outside, it's still raining. I look around and there's no one at all. Rough edges, ragged hearts come together just to fall apart. We're living as a dying art. Rough edges and ragged hearts. My ears ringing when I wake next morning. The phone in its cradle is silent as hell. But maybe this evening I'll find redemption dancing with the demons that I know so well. Rough edges come together just to fall apart. We're living as a dying art. Rough edges and ragged hearts. Ragged hearts. I'll wear my scars like a well-worn dance floor. pajamas fall. Single file. Ladies chain. Bend the line. Promenade. Roll away. Half sachet. You turn back. Separate. Rough edges and ragged hearts come together just to fall apart. We're living as a dying art. Rough edges and ragged hearts.
That's an incredible song.
Thank you.
What an incredible voice you have.
Thank you so much.
How do you learn to sing? Do you
have a song? I have no idea. I just kind of do it. I guess, you know, growing up in a household where there was so much music, and, you know, my mom and dad were really into the great old classic country stuff, all the Hank Williams and Patsy Cline and Lefty Frizzell and all those people. And then I got into the Beatles. You know, it was kind of my thing. They totally changed my life. I remember when they were first on the Ed Sullivan Show and I was in elementary school. And the next day when I went to school, everything had changed. It was like everybody was singing their songs in the schoolyard. It was just like, wow, you know. My very first record I ever got was Twist and Shout. that I, you know, asked for. So I think I kind of really learned how to sing listening to them, and I learned harmony because they were such great harmony singers, you know. So, and then songs that had no harmony, I would just end up putting my own in and stuff. So, you know, I think I really learned how to sing from them. I started playing the accordion at the age of 6. So, and I played that till I think I was 14 when I quit. We moved out to the country, and there were no teachers out there. It wasn't a really kind of hip sort of instrument to be playing when you're 14 years old. Everybody associated with Lawrence Welk and Myron Florin, you know. So I gave it up for a while, and then when Spirit of the West found out that I'd played accordion, it kind of came back into my life again. And there's actually going to be one song on the new album that I wrote on the accordion, and I got to start getting it back into the show again. There's a few things. I mean, God, how many instruments can you bring? You know, my husband would be, you know. I have a dulcimer at home and auto harp and stuff too, you know, and I've sort of worked with a couple of songs on those instruments as well. The banjo, I started playing the banjo in 2005, and it really sort of helped to redefine my music.
During the sound check, it was really cool to hear you play. This is Linda McCrae. I was curious. I've always felt, and this is a little inside, but not, I don't think too much, but I really like the Canadian content rule for radio, mm-hmm. which requires, I think now it's 10% of music mm-hmm. has to be of Canadian origin. And, it has resulted in a better scene for local independent musicians mm-hmm. in Canada. At least that's my perception.
Right.
I'm curious if I'm right. I may be wrong.
Well, you know, I mean, it's still hard for people to get heard. And Canada's a really large country in area, but it's small in population. So, you know, I mean, I'm not sure what the ratio would be as far as population from between Canada, but I think, God, I don't even know what is the population these days. You know, it was 20 million, but that was like back when I was in school, so I'm not sure what it would be now. It'd be higher, but the ratio is you know, there's a lot less population, mm-hmm. and it's the major cities in Canada are sort of centered along the southern part of the country along the border, and it's quite incredible how little of the music actually breaks that border. It's like the, you know, it's this huge big wall between the two countries or something. But the content, the Canadian content thing, really does help Canadian artists. You know, I think if it wasn't for that, it probably would be lost in the shuffle, because there's so much other stuff out there that's popular and has, you know, much more airplay and stuff. And
yeah, especially in this this day and age, where
formula
music has no boundaries with the internet. But
right.
I think that, I mean, we have, the United States certainly has its pockets of regional music too. But that's interesting you're describing about the size of the country, because that's why you can hear, you know, Cape Breton has a completely different sound than Hogtown.
Definitely. Definitely. It's very true.
Yeah, it's neat to think about that.
Yeah.
Linda McCrae is here. I'm like itching to talk more, but because it's 14 minutes before noon, I want to be sure we get two or three more songs in if we can. I think we'll be able to. And I don't know what you want to do next.
Dennis asked me to do this song that James and I, my husband, wrote about Towns Van Zandt, the late, great Towns Van Zandt. We're just huge fans of his. And, you know, it's kind of, we worked on this song for a long time, because if you're going to write a song about Towns Van Zandt,
yeah,
you want
that's
it
a
to
toughie.
Be good. You know, he's one of the most incredible songwriters around. And so this is a new one that's going to be on the new album as well. And James and I wrote this one, worked on this one together.
Oh, Ricky wants me to tell you the population of Canada is now 33. Ricky's very exact. 33,739,900.
Thank you.
As of 2009, she's kind of exact.
Okay. Yeah, this is a lot more than 20,000, that's for sure. Okay, that's good to know. Here we go. He lived life like he played cards, but the deck had grown colder. January 1, he bet all he had and failed her hand upon his shoulder. When he drew the ace of spades, all three had come before. His chances numbered 52, and he had played them all on the deck. Four aces flew to heaven. His words turned to gold. Nothing in his pack, just his second record. Outside Pinkies, he itched to ride. The ride ended before his work did. He was a guitar slinger no one could deny. When she spread her wings around him on the day they laid him low, his white angel, who'd always been there with him, took him home on the day. Four aces flew to heaven. His words turned to gold. The sun burned out in Galveston all his childhood memories. He didn't know his mother or the words they told him. They're no longer his stories. Shut the rubber curtain, block out the light. He is in his room drinking Bally High wine with Lightning Hopkins and Bobby Dylan. It don't matter if it's day, if it's night, 'cause today Four Aces flew to heaven. Turn The outlaw Jacks cried a silent tear for a friend they couldn't save. And if by chance you'd listen close, you could almost hear them say, we could have had him any day. We only let him go so wrong, out of kindness, I suppose.
Linda McCrae, that's a masterful song, and that's
thank you.
Gosh, in tribute to Towns Van Zandt. We we only have about 7 minutes of radio time left, and I wanna make sure you know the timing of your songs better than me. That could
right.
be either one or two songs. I see the banjo coming up. I want to encourage you as the banjo is ready to hear to go to Linda McCrae, McRae. .com for more information about her albums, the new album coming out on Mother's Day. She's headed to Folsom Prison in about a month to play there, three shows. So we're really lucky to have her in our neck of the woods. And also we want to thank, excuse me, Dennis McCurdy from the Harmony mm-hmm. in the House concert series. Which kept Linda busy last night for
it was so much fun
importing her here. So there's the banjo, and I wonder what's going to come out of it.
I think I'll do this is one that James and I wrote together. James, my husband James Whitmire, celebrated his 24th sobriety birthday this past July 24th, and we ended up writing this song about it. I'll play it for you now. Showing scars, built on a street called Misery, where everything I touched fell apart. A house not fit for man nor beast, but no one ever really wants to stay. Couched with shame, so unforgiving, a place you own but never give away. Guess the poison in my veins has spent all my pride and got back no change. Sold to the bone with years of pain. I thought my house was so unique that I held the only key, but that key so many times been sold unlocks the door to purgatory. Don't come. kitchen, for it's a house made of fire and brimstone, and the souls that have gone before. Nightmares in the basement, sorrow in the attic, it is darker than three midnights in a jar.
What are we going to do with you? You're really amazing.
Thank you so much.
And we're Thanks. Unfortunately, gosh, we don't have, I don't think we have enough time for another song. The songs are so beautifully, perfectly crafted.
Thank you very much.
I don't mean to gush, but really your voice, both instruments that we got to hear today, and then these songs are just incredible. And
thank you so much.
The ones you and James wrote together that you sang are great, too. Is there anything you'd like to point out? You know, we have quite a few people listening online as well as across our radio stations. I mentioned the website, lindamcrae.com. Also, a new CD coming out soon. And
yeah, we're going to release it on Mother's Day next year.
Yeah, and at least probably half a dozen or so CDs available to purchase, right? Not half a dozen copies of the same CD,
right?
But different CDs.
Yeah, well, I have three solo CDs of my own, and then so this will be the fourth one. And we're probably going to put together, I think, a live package of live stuff as well. But I just wanted to thank you so much for I really appreciate you know, what you said about the songs and everything, and I just wanted to encourage people out there. I started playing the banjo in 2005, and I ended up going to, my father had passed away and left me some money, so I went and I bought myself my banjo and my guitar, and I went to a couple of songwriting schools, camps, and a banjo camp. And it was one of the greatest things I ever did for myself, because I didn't even realize you could go to songwriting school and learn how to write songs. I thought people just did it, you know. And it really helped me a lot. And then meeting James has really helped as well, helped with the lyrics and everything, so...
Never too late to start,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
And to do new things. And I can't wait to hear the new CD. And I hope that you'll find a way to get back into our neck of the woods.
Oh, definitely.
One way
I'd
or another.
I'd love to come back. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being here. And thanks to Dennis McCurdy, too, and the Bottle Brush Gallery.
Yeah, thank you. And that's the voice of Linda McCrae. Thanks to all of our guests today. Zach Dorn, the artist, discussing his exhibit in Tough Art that just opened up in the Children's Museum a couple weeks ago. Bridget Bradley on Biketoberfest at the Mon Yach Chamber of Commerce, as well as the Steel Heritage Area. Also, our thanks to Stephanie Flom and talking about Boyd Community Center classes, including the one we'll be teaching. Coach Joy Nix and girls from First Row, Kristen Link, with City Theater's young playwrights, Aubrey, Janari, and Keandra, and Christine Pace from Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and you. Join us again next week for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings on Public Radio.